mercy has rewrote my life. Yes, God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, let's sing it now. Yes, mercy has rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy. Aren't you glad that He did, church? Sing it one more time with all your heart. Oh, God's mercy. Oh, we thank You for it, Lord. Yes, God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Aren't you glad that He did? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be back in God's house again tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? I'll tell you what, we just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And God is just so merciful to us and so wonderful to us to bless us with these great, tremendous services. Now, I'm going to make an announcement tonight. And you just bear with me. We're going to get this right this time, Brother Terry. Study sheets for married women. What did you expect? They're in the library. Please take only one. Thank you, Sister Ivy. Now remember that. And after we had the further examination and everything, there was nobody got married here during the sessions on this week. I think I announced that the married was going to get married, but they're already married, so we got all that out of the way. Now, from this night forward, any announcement that you've got, you're going to be looking at it right there and not hearing it from me. Is that good? Somebody say praise the Lord. Because I have a tendency to get things crossed up, and we're going to do it the right way, and that way it'll all work out for everybody. But you had a good life anyway, and sometimes laughter is as good as medicine, isn't it? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Isn't it good? Praise the Lord. Brother Terry was trying to tell me with everything that he had that I was doing it wrong, and I wouldn't listen, so I apologize for that. Let's look at our prayer request while we stand tonight. I want to remember Brother Kirk. This is from Brother Kirk Sacker in regard to Brother John Sacker, who has had yet another heart attack, and he's in critical condition in an Arizona hospital. So we certainly want to pray for Brother John Sacker that the Lord would just be mindful of him. This is a request from Sister Dawn. She has a serious eye condition, and she has asked us to pray for her. Sister Margaret Wilkinson sends that in, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight as we pray. This is from Sister Natalie Yance. Says, my mother and I will be flying to the cancer treatment center tomorrow. Please pray that I can get rid of this horrible nausea and vomiting and feel better soon. Thank you, Sister Natalie. So we certainly want to pray for her and the family, the entire family, that the Lord would just wrap him up in His arms and hold him real close. We believe He's able to do that, don't we? Amen. I want to pray for Sister Baker. She's sick. Unable to be in the service tonight, so let's remember that need as we pray. And this is another request in regard to Sister Natalie, so let's keep those folks in our heart. Brother Gary Harris says to please remember my Aunt Thelma Bradley in prayer. She had a stroke this week, so we certainly want to pray for that need. Brother Perry Green's wife, Sister Janice Green, is in the hospital with high blood pressure. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Sister Clara Davis, sick, unable to be in the service. Let's remember her. The McFarlands are asking that we remember their aunt, Mary Jane Dugan, as she continues to take her chemotherapy treatments. So let's pray for that need. Remember Linda Thacker and family. They were taking her off of life support last night. So Brother Reese wants us to remember that need. Let's just commit it all unto the Lord. Sister Victoria Thomas called to request prayer for her son Matthew, who has ADHD and is experiencing sleep disorders. She also requests prayer for her sister's custody battle over her step-granddaughter. So we certainly pray for those needs tonight. There's a lot of needs, a lot of people hurting tonight, a lot of people counting on you to touch the Lord on their behalf. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about? Let's just sing that chorus together one more time. Mercy has rewrote our life. I appreciate it with all my heart. Do you tonight? Oh, mercy has rewrote my life. Yes, God's mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy, it's rewrote my life. One more time with all your heart. Oh, God's mercy. Oh, sing it to Him, church. Yes, God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Jackie Benton, come tonight if you would. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into this service. Join our brother in prayer with these prayer requests. We just commit it all unto the Lord. Appreciate Brother Jackie, don't we? God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a privilege to come and, Lord, bring our request to you, Father. And, Lord, we know tonight that it's mercy that has rewrote our lives. And you're rewriting our lives every day, Lord. Hallelujah. To be more like you, Lord. I thank you, Father, tonight, Lord, that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I bring these requests, O God, before you. Too many, Lord, for me to remember. But, Lord, you know every need. You know every name. You know every request, O God. And every hand that was raised, Father, tonight, Lord, you see that hand. Hallelujah. You know, Lord, the heart behind the hand. Father, I ask you tonight that you'll come, God, and minister to the needs of these. Our brother Sacker, Lord, and our sister Natalie, Lord, and many others, O God, tonight, Lord, if we could just put ourselves in their place. As the prophet said, hallelujah, I can put myself, hallelujah, in their place, hallelujah. Then God answers and God moves. And Father, tonight I pray, Lord, that, Lord, this host of believers can, Lord Jesus, have sympathy and compassion and faith tonight, O God, to reach out and to touch the hem of your garment tonight, Father. Grant it, we pray. Let the anointing of God come. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, in this service tonight. Hallelujah, and anoint the speaker, God. And may you send your word once more and heal, Father, we pray, for soul, mind, and body. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor. Hallelujah. That's midst, O God, that is accomplished for your glory. Anoint the singing, anoint the musicians, anoint us tonight to hear, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus Christ's name. And amen. And amen.
God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. All those that are streaming, may God richly bless all those folks as well. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Let's sing that song, He Came Looking for Me. Praise the Lord. Play it. Praise the Lord. Well, He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way, but there was no way that I could see. Oh, yes, He was.
Rescued my soul and calmed all my fear.
Now I'm saved from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Sing that chorus again.
He came looking for me.
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 He made a way, but there was no way that I see.
When I drifted so far, Jesus was near.
Oh, yes, He was.
Rescued my soul and calmed all my fear.
Now saved from all harm
since I met the one who came looking for me. One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with me. My desperate cry rang out with fright.
Oh, yes.
All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me. So far, Jesus was near.
Hallelujah!
He rescued my soul.
Glory!
Calmed all my fear.
Now I'm saved from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, Satan had already
picked
out my grave. He planned to move forward to put me away. I drifted so far, but anyone cared that I'd soon be lost.
Yes, Lord.
Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe with no harm, cause He walked through my storm. He came looking for me. So far, Jesus was near.
to rescue my soul and calm all my fear.
Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, old Satan had already picked out my grave and planned. Sing it, buddy.
Put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost?
Yes,
I knew my destruction was a matter of time. But Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all.
Thank you, Lord.
'Cause he walked through the storm. He came looking for me. Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear.
Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
Drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me.
Hallelujah. And I've got so much to thank him for. So much,
so much
to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me.
And say thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
for all
thank
you've
Lord.
Done for me.
You,
and by grace one day I'll reach heaven's shore.
Yes,
oh, please let me kneel once more.
Glory.
I've got so much to thank him for.
So
much to thank him for.
So much.
So He brought me from.
I've got so much
to thank Him for.
Oh, if you love Him, give Him a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Well, you're just singing so good tonight. Thank you for your contribution. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother Jackie Benton's going to come and give us a song. This time, Brother Jackie, we love to hear you sing. But if you don't have anything else, I claim the blood will work fine. We appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. God bless Brother Jackie. We sure love Brother Jackie Benton. This man is loved around the world. He really is. Appreciate you, buddy. You sing it.
I'm just glad for the blood. There's a lot of religions. And religion is all right to live by, but it won't do to die by. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Amen. Help me sing it. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I have a source of strength when I am weak. It helps me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love.
Amen.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains.
Listen to this.
I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. Where there's a healing, cleansing stream still flows with a peace that only His redeemed can know.
Singing out,
for I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim it's personal.
Amen. Sing it one more time to Him.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains.
How we appreciate the blood.
Amen. Amen.
Where would we be without it? Brother Ronnie Cobb, his mother passed away this morning. We want to pray for Andrew and Aaron Cobb and the family. We'll have mercy as they travel to Indiana for the funeral. So maybe we could just do that before we approach the Word tonight. Lord Jesus, we ask you, Father, for your comfort and your help in this time of loss for Brother Ronnie and his family losing his mother. Brother Darrell was just telling me she was 92 years of age, so she had a long life, outlived many a teenager, many a baby, many a 50-year-old woman or man. But yet, Lord, sometimes it's so difficult for us when we get ready to say goodbye. It's like we're never ready. We ask you that you would help this family in this time of loss. We pray for those that would be traveling. Father, may your comfort and your grace just come to them and help them, Lord. Our brother David Seiler is going to come and speak for us just in a few moments. We pray that you would anoint him, Lord. May you anoint us tonight that we can be able to receive from you, Father. We count it such a privilege that we could be gathered together here again in the house of God. May you take the instrument of humanity, move it aside, and speak to us those things which we have need of. Grant it, Lord. And the church said,
amen.
Are you happy to be in the house of God?
Amen.
It's a privilege for us, isn't it, to be gathered together once again in the presence of God and think that His mercy, instead of calling us, we're not called to some station, Brother Brim said, we're not called to some church, but we're called to the person of Christ Himself. The Antichrist move around us will try to divert that call, to try to call you to a church or a preacher or even the prophet. And you remember, anything that tries to call you to any other person other than the Lord Jesus is Antichrist. It'll never be Billy Graham. It'll never be them people out yonder that'll ever try to fool the message followers. Oh no, it'll be right around our own ranks, and they'll try to be something that'll look so close, that it would deceive the very elected if it were possible. But since they are the Word, you can't deceive the Word. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. So nice for us to be together tonight. Brother David's going to come and preach for us tonight. Ask him to preach tonight. Brother Darrell preached in the morning. I'm feeling a lot better. Certainly appreciate your prayers and all that. I thought I'd take just a few more services to fully recuperate. I didn't figure y'all would have a problem with that. If you do, that's your tough luck. I know you wouldn't. I know you'd want me to rest and take how much ever time I need. No, I appreciate that. I've got so many nice phone calls and emails and texts and cards and all that. I imagine the post office, they from time to time, they get to thinking, there must be something going on at the church over there. Brother Donnie Reagan goes come to the post office. They're probably saying there's something going on, you know. But I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I just want you to know what it means to me. And I love you with all my heart. All right, Harry, what are we going to sing to bring Brother David out? What? Don't tell me you're without a song, man. My goodness. Praise the Lord. Let's sing together, Touching Jesus. How many has a need tonight in your life? Whether it's spiritual, physical, financial, whatever it is. Remember, God put a gift in the life of these preachers so they would be able to move out of the way and God could speak to you through them. No doubt Brother David has notes, scriptures, quotes, all those sorts of things. But your need or yours may lay out of the confines of what mainly that God has put upon His heart. But if you can realize tonight what an important part that you have in this service, you'll be able to touch God and God will turn right back down and touch Him and speak something exactly, so perfectly in harmony that what you need, it'll be absolutely overwhelming to you. That shouldn't be surprising to us. We say it all the time, right?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing it together. Oh woman, I tried so many physicians, yet grew worse, so did Jesus, she came, and when that crowd tried to restrain her. Oh yes, through her pain. Everybody now, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And your life will never be the same.
Once again, can we sing it together? Touching Jesus is all that matters.
Oh, Jesus, yes, He's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Oh, amen. Oh, there's all. Lord, what it means to us tonight to be able to come into your presence. And it's our desire, Lord, to touch you, for you to touch us tonight. Lord, we just invite you here, Lord, this evening that you would come and help us, Lord. Help us each one that we could just become surrendered to you, Lord. Lord, I'm very aware that if you don't come in this building, this service will be a mess. But Lord, if you'll help us to be able to yield ourselves to you. And not just the ministry, but each one of us that's come. If we could yield ourselves to you, what you can do in this service tonight. Lord, it won't just be another Saturday night service. It'll be the Saturday night service that I got touched by the Lord. May you grant it tonight, we pray, Lord. I ask that you'd help us now, each one, in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. 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 If you have your Bibles this evening, we invite you to the scripture to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, we want to go to verse 16. Two different places we'd like to look at this evening. Malachi chapter 3. I'd like to start at verse 16. We'll read down to verse 18. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought often thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Also in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, just one more verse of scripture and we'll let you be seated. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 this evening. How many's glad to be in church tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. I'd like to speak this evening, the Lord to help us on the book of remembrance, the book of remembrance. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessings through the reading of the word. I like to read a statement out of the message of who is this Melchizedek, and I want to just stick with that message just for a few moments this evening to let you understand our thought to what we want to look at. But Brother Ram makes this statement, and I'll just try to build from this tonight. Brother Ram said, in the Lamb's Book of Life, before the foundation of the world, just think of it. Before Jesus was ever born, 4,000 years before he ever came on earth, several thousand years before you come on earth, Jesus, in God's mind, died for the sins of the world. And the book of life was made, and your name was put on that book of life before the foundation of the world. That's the Bible truth, see. Your name was ordained of God and placed on the book of life before the foundation of the world. You were there in His attributes. You don't remember it, no, because you're just a part of His life. You're a part of God when you become a son and daughter of God. And remember, your eyes, your statue, whatever you was, you were in His thinking in the beginning. And the only thing that you are is an expression of the Word after He thought it. He spoke it, and here you are. He thought it, then He spoke it, and here you are. If it isn't, you wasn't in His thinking, there's no way for you to be ever be there, for He's the one that gives eternal life. I want to look at this book of remembrance and talk about memory just for a few moments this evening. You know, Brother Ram, actually, and this message of who is this Melchizedek, we know that when you talk about memory, we know that God is all omnipotent. He is all powerful, yet He is also all knowing. And we understand that God, He knows all things at all times. And God really can't forget those thoughts that He had in His mind because they was always there. But yet God is so great, He can forget if He wants to forget. And we know because Brother Ram tells us God is all knowing. You know, in one place Brother Ram says it like this. He said that, Brother Ram described it that he said He knows how many times a flea would bat its eye. And He knows how many times that, how many hairs that's on top of your head. And God, He knows all those things. And He says you've never lost a one of them. And He knows all things because He's infinite. But you're not infinite tonight. You're finite. There's nothing that can be hid from God, but there is things that can be hid from you tonight. We can't even actually comprehend an infinite God unless God does something for us to be able to understand Him. God has to reveal Himself to us. No man can comprehend God outside the revelation of the Word, because God hides Himself within the Word. Now, since man is finite, we know that man cannot understand God being eternal and just always being. And, you know, as even my kids has asked, you say, well, when did God begin to be God? Well, He just always was God. Yeah, but when did He begin to be that part of that fountain of life? When did He start? Well, He never did start. He just always was, because He had no beginning. Now, there was a time He became God, because God means object of worship. And He became God, but Brother Ram said, when He created angels. But before that, He was a fountain of attributes. Hallelujah. That means within that fountain was a healer. There was a deliverer. There was a savior. But there wasn't nothing lost. There was nothing needing to be redeemed. But all those attributes lay there. There was also the attribute of a father. There was an attribute of Him being, always being a father, not just a father, being a perfect father. But there was nothing to be father over, because everything was just attributes. But what God did is, so we can understand, God began, Brother Ram said, to condescend. Oh, I like that. Now, many people, they try to understand God. They try to come to the understanding of who God is. But let me just say this. There's no need of trying to understand God unless you actually possess God. Too many people don't want to possess what they're trying to receive by intellectual conception, intellectual understanding. But God don't want to just be believed in our minds. He wants it to be revealed to us. That's the problem we got around the message. Too many people, they want things explained besides being revealed. Now, what God does is, God changes His form and He amorphates Himself. Brother Ram said He went from thought, which was attribute, and then thought, which is expressed. A thought expressed is the Word. But before it was a thought, it was an attribute. But when God begins to condescend, it doesn't stay an attribute no more. It moves from there and it becomes what we call the Word. That's where you get Genesis, actually St. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Amen. And the Word was God. So the Word was always with God. Amen. Every attribute was always with God until He began to condescend. Now, we can all agree that God does have thoughts. Amen. And we know that we was not just pre-existent souls. We was not just spirits floating around God, but we was within that great fountain. We was always a part of God. If you're an attribute tonight and you have eternal life in your soul, you always was. Amen. Now, we know that God never has a new thought. And God can't change His mind. Brother, I so anchors on that tonight. An attribute is a thought before it's expressed. But when it becomes expressed, Brother Ram calls it now, he moves into a form called the Word. Now, God did not think about me one day after I was here and after you lived for 20 years, 30 years, and God began to think about you and you become eternal. That don't happen. You either always was or you never will be. If you don't got a past, you ain't got a future tonight. Amen. We was associated with God. We was a part of God. We was the Word within the Word. Now, how God actually begets is God thinks about His Word and then He speaks that Word. Because the loin of God is the very mind of God. And how God reproduces, He reproduces by speaking the Word. Now, His thoughts become Word, and the Bible says that the Word is a seed. Amen. And the way God begots us is He thinks about us, and God never gets a better thought. And God never gets, actually has something better than what He had yesterday or better than what He had 2,000 years ago. God never changes what He already thought. He never thought about you and I because of your mistakes. God didn't decide because of your faults and your failures that He's just going to change His mind what He thought about you. Your mistakes can't change the mind of God. You know what that tells me? Even despite of your own self, God's going to make sure you make it in the rapture. In the message, who is this Melchizedek? A thought expressed becomes Word. So if we are His thoughts, and then we become expressed in the Word, when God expressed His Word, we was expressed with the Word. We've always been a part of the Word. Whether it's in the form of Jeremiah, whether it's in the form of Isaiah, whether it's in the form of Moses, we was always a part of the Word. Amen. Brother, so you was identified with them. Amen. Now, we know that same Word became flesh in the man Jesus. And the Bible said He dwelt among us. That tells me something. God condescended from being eternal, from thought to attribute, and from that attribute, He created a man called Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. You didn't come that way. Amen. You didn't come that way. You come in the flesh. Amen. Remember, the Bible tells us, even though you bypassed your theophany, He said when He created Jesus Christ, all that was in God was poured into the man, Jesus Christ. And the Bible said when He got poured in, you got poured in with Him. Abraham said, when He died, you died. Amen. When He got buried, you got buried. But when He rose, you rose with Him. Eternal spirit, attribute, which is thoughts to the Word, which is what we call a theophany. Amen. Brother Abraham called this theophany one place. Brother Abraham called it Melchizedek. It's because God actually condescended in word form and picked up 16 elements out of the earth and created a body for that theophany to walk in. Now, when God became Melchizedek, you was there with Him because you was a part of the Word. Amen. Melchizedek ain't the second person of the Godhead. He's God in a flesh body revealing Himself to Abraham. And then Barak says later, you hear no more Melchizedek, because Melchizedek became Jesus. Because Jesus came from thought right to the theophany, right to a flesh body. Now, we see then, we did exist before time. We existed before sin. Hallelujah. We existed before trials. We existed before sickness. You existed somewhere in the mind of God. You was there.
Amen.
Amen. Now watch. And Brother Ram made this statement when you talk about theophany. Brother Ram said, you bypassed your theophany in the beginning. But Jesus didn't. He came right from attribute, which was thought, right to that theophany body, came down the man called Jesus Christ. The outside part was a human being. Come on, somebody. The outside part was a man. But the theophany of God dwelt in that man. Amen. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. Amen. What God done was, He took all those attributes that was within God, and now God actually condescends, and He has a man that He can express those attributes through. He's Redeemer. He's Healer. He's Savior. But He's got to have somebody to redeem through. Somebody to save through. Oh, don't you see where we're going? He's got to have somebody to manifest His Word. The difference between you and Him as a son, not a God, a son. He was at the beginning the Word in Morphe. He came and lived in the person of Melchizedek. Later we never heard no more Melchizedek because He became Jesus Christ. Amen. Can't make that body part of the Godhead. Amen. Said you can't make it a part of the Godhead because God created that body, materialized that body, used that body temporarily, and then that body somehow become dematerialized and went back to the dust of the earth. Amen. And that body, I'll tell you, it's not kin, folks, to our bodies. In that form of Melchizedek, He could not be Redeemer. Because that body ain't kin to your body. He created that body out of the dust and then stepped into that body. But it's not a redeemable body. Because the fall came by woman. God's going to use a woman. Amen. Brother Ram says, see, we never heard no more Melchizedek because He became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest. But He became Jesus Christ. And you bypassed that. Because in that form, He knows all things. And you've never been able to know that yet. Yet. He's not saying you ain't ever going to know it. He's just saying in this form, you don't know it yet. You come like Adam. You come like me. You came from the attribute to the flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished, hallelujah, and I'll tell you, we're almost to the finish line. When this life is finished, He begins to quote, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already. It's already waiting. That's where we go. That's the Word. Then we can look back and see what we've done, and we don't understand it because we've never become the Word. We just become the flesh, man, but not the Word. And look clearly. It makes clear. You will never be the Word unless you was a thought at the beginning. That proves the predestination of God. You can't be the Word unless you was a thought. God did have thoughts. Amen. We just bypass our theophany to come to this life that we are in now. Now, but we realize there is a part of us that is missing. Amen. Brother and sister, this world, it is not our home tonight. And this body ain't my last designation. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, there's something about our lives, it's missing. Notice Paul says like this, for we know this earthly house, this tabernacle, will dissolve. We have a building of God. It's a house not made with hands. Watch this next statement. Eternal in the heavens. Now, I'll tell you this. Anybody know what the word eternal means? No beginning and no ending. Listen to this statement again. We have a house not made with hands that never had a beginning and never had an end. It's eternal in the heavens. For in this, and I could preach right here, couldn't we? In this we groan. Amen. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. He's telling you, you've got a body that's not made with hands, that's eternal in the beginning, never had an end. And it's waiting. It's waiting. For in this we do groan. And Barron said the reason in the breach, the reason something groans, because it's not in its ought to be position. It's not in its right place. We wouldn't groan in this body if it's all we're ever going to have, but we groan every day. We're groaning. Nature's groaning. Animals groaning. Everything's groaning. In this we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed. Earnestly desiring to be clothed. It's clothes. It's a garment. Hallelujah. Earnest desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. It's so that being clothed, we shall not be found Laodiceans. Because Laodicea is blind, wretched, miserable, naked, having no need of an eternal body. Come on, somebody. We're not Laodiceans. Laodicea's going on, but we're not part of Laodicea. We've been called up higher than Laodicea. So we're missing something. It's a body. A word body. Eternal in the heavens. That body is the part of that life of God that you bypassed in the beginning. Amen. And I'll tell you this. That part you bypassed is that thought that God had of you before the foundation of the world. Because the theophany body is not a glorified body. It takes a theophany body and a flesh body to make a glorified body. Amen. 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 Remember, if we're alive and remain here, we'll meet those that come from the grave. They'll come back and pick up earth because they need to be glorified. But you and I, if we're alive and remain, we'll take on a new body. We shall be changed. Now, remember, theophany ain't nothing part of the earth. It's part of heaven, eternal in the heavens. Amen. And I may I say this. This is the hour for the receiving of it. This is the season of it. This is the time of it. This is the hour for it. Brother, there ain't another church age coming. There's not another day promised. This is the day, this day. Isn't it amazing? Nobody knows what we know about a new body. You ever thought about that? Nobody knows what we know about theophanies. You say theophany, people look like, what'd you say? The what? The oh who? Yeah, nobody knows about theophanies like we do. But we hear it preached and it goes right in our heart. We just accept it and we don't take second thoughts to it. You should thank God for that tonight. You should thank God it's not foreign to you. It's not common to you. It's fresh manna. The opening of the seven seals brought the reality of who we are, where we come from. Amen. Now, see, that's where we differ. You realize that's where we differ with almost every denomination there is. Because they believe you're going to receive something you never have had. And we preach you're going to receive something you always had, you just bypassed. They say you're getting something that you don't even know what is. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, you're getting a body that never did sin when the pearl will fall eternal in the heavens. That body will be added to us if we're alive and remain. You believe that? This corruptible will put on. Put it on like putting your clothes on. You'll put on incorruption. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never meet that body there unless you've already heard from it here. Brother, you got to know why this message is eagle food. You're hearing from something. Hallelujah. Everybody else hears it and hears Kentucky. They hear an old man that lived 50 years ago or 60 years ago. But I hear more than that. There's a deep call into the deep. God ain't just going to grab another body and make a new one. The other rapture, God ain't making new bodies. He's giving you a body that he already thought about. Oh God. Before the foundation of the world. So I'm going back to what I bypassed in the beginning. Glory to God, somebody. Amen. Notice the statement, who's this Melchizedek? After you recognized the very word of God. Amen. It ain't the word of man. Preach, Brother David. It ain't the word of man. It's not the word of a Kentuckian. Why do you keep saying it? Because that's where people miss it at. They get their eyes upon the man and they forget what the man's saying. That you recognize the very word of God was eagle food. You heard from your theophany. How can you hear from your theophany if your theophany don't have a voice? So if you're going to hear from it, it must have a voice. It's not quiet, it's got a voice. God's original thought of you comes to you, and it's revealed to you. It's a mystery to everybody else, but it's revealed to you. If so being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for what we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I'm not getting a body of the future. I'm getting a body from the past. You either believe that, or you believe that God did something when you come down to the altar. God didn't make you a new one when you repented. Come on, somebody. God didn't make you an eternal body a day you started and the day you repented. God can't make a new one. God can't make a new one. He's already thought about every one of them. No wonder Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, glory to God. God saw us at the beginning. He saw us the way we was meant to be. Whew. So if God foresaw you and he foreknew you, we believe he did. He saw you the way you was meant to be. And God can't change his mind about what he saw. Amen. Brother Ram said, listen to this statement, this will help you. God's first thought is a perfect thought. Yeah, brother, you try to compare this body with that quote right there and you're going to be sadly mistaken. Yeah. He's going to see us as a perfect bride of Christ. Amen. Now, the book of remembrance. We realize that God's thoughts, God actually reveals his thoughts, his knowledge. When we talk about thoughts, you remember something happened yesterday, you call that remembering. You call that memory, right? Amen. We call it remembering something. Jonathan, My son did something the other day. And when he done it, it reminded me of something that he done when he was just a child, a baby. But what happened was, the way he done that, oh God, help me, it triggered a thought in the back part of my mind of what he was when he was just a baby. Now, in other words, if something happened years ago, it lays somewhere in your mind, but it takes something to trigger that thought to get you to remember it. We call it recollection. Hallelujah. Memory. You realize you see a picture of somebody, maybe they'd passed on. What happens is you begin to remember. And when you remember them, you remember their characteristics. God in mercy. You remember their characteristics. You remember their attitude. You remember the things they've done. You remember the smile. You remember their attributes of who they was. Amen. Now, you realize that God can forget something if He wants to. I hope you believe that. I believe in the sea of God's forgetfulness. But that's just powerful. That an all-remembering God can actually forget if He chooses to forget. What a mighty God we serve tonight. Amen. You can take, and I tell you, you say, well, I'm just going to just forget about it. You can forget about it if you think you can try to forget about it. But ever so often, something comes up that reminds you of what happens. Amen. For it says this, you can forgive, but you cannot forget. And the reason you can't forget is because you're finite. You can forgive them for what they did to you, but you'll always remember what they did. Can I say something? That don't mean you shouldn't try to. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Now let me say this. That's what God did for our sins. Amen. Remember, Hebrews says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. Your mistakes, your faults, your shortcomings, God becomes forgetful when they were repented of and put in the sea of forgetfulness. It's though you never done it. Isn't it amazing though, when you become a believer, Satan wants to haunt you by the things you remember from your past? Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you this, if you don't have a spiritual past, you have nothing to live for. Everybody always has the claim, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and that's good. Listen to this quote right here, Matthew 25:8. Listen to this. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go you rather and tell them to sell, to buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So there was one that was ready to receive when he came. The other one was lacking. Verse 11, afterwards came also the other virgins. So there was all kinds of virgins there. Come on, somebody. Let me just say this. Rebecca wasn't the only virgin. Come on, somebody. That went to the well that day. There was a lot of good girls that came by that well. But Rebecca was the only one that was in the mind of God to go meet Isaac. Eliezer wasn't sent to get any of the rest of the virgins. He was sent to get Rebecca. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, she was willing. He didn't have to talk her into it. He didn't have to try to tell her every week, you're elected, you're elected, you're elected, you're elected. Come on, somebody. There was something about his voice. Something about that word. She began to hear it. Something inside her began to respond to it. Amen. There's a lot of virgins there. Remember, there's been many churches, churches. Brides, brides, churches, churches. But there's coming one. Come on, Rebecca. I said there's coming one who's willing to get on that beast. Who's willing to rise to meet Isaac. What's verse 11? Afterward came also the other verse saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Is remembering important? I know you not. I guarantee you, these people wish God remembered them. Amen. Watch Matthew 7:21 again. Just real quick. Not everyone that saith unto me, Brother Ram said, I mean, Lord, Lord. Come on, somebody. Why, we just might as well bring it right down home. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will, which is the word, of my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus starts talking about people doing his will. And all of a sudden a Pentecostal anointing comes out. And many will say to me in that day, but Lord, have we not said in a message church? Did we not listen to tapes 3 times a week? Did we not believe Brother Branham was a prophet? Lord, have we not prophesied my name? Lord, you surely know. You remember the night I got all anointed, prayed for the sick and they got healed, you remember? Lord, has I not prophesied thy name, and thy name have not cast out devils? And thy name done many, many, many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. But hey, God's infinite. Amen. We're finite. God's infinite. He knows all things. And how in the world can he say, I never knew you? Because they was never an eternal part of his thinking. They never was an attribute from the beginning. Amen. Friends, God don't know you unless he knew you. Woo. Yeah, amen. Amen. Peter says it like this, we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Amen. You're elect! Because God knew you beforehand. Amen. Not that God chose to make you better and somebody else worse and you righteous and somebody wicked. He already knew who you was. Do you see that? Foreknowledge means to know before. And Peter said, we're elect because of the foreknowledge of God. I don't care how many quotes you memorize. I don't care how much of the Bible you know. If God didn't foreknow you as an elect seed of God, he will never know you now. Election's based upon memory. God had to foreknow you. That's why God, he recognizes who you are because he foreknew you. Amen. Remember that quote, Brother Ram always quoted that colored sister and she said, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. But the way some people only want to remember is the way you was. And even when you go to the altar, they want to hold that against you the rest of your life. And I'll tell you, that is not an attribute that come out of God's thinking. Come on, somebody. Brothers and sisters, you got to remember how powerful the blood was for you. That same blood is enough power for somebody else. You believe that? Amen. Book of Remembrance. Notice, Malachi says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and he heard it. They were speaking. And the Lord heard it. And a book of remembrance was written. History tells us that kings would actually write the deeds, the good deeds and the bad deeds of what people done against the kingdom. And they would put it in a book. Remember whenever Israel had actually fought against Amalek. And they had prevailed when Moses got tired and he sat down and Aaron and Hur lifted up Aaron's hand or Moses' hands and they lifted him up. Israel prevailed. Well, they overcome Amalek. And after they overcame, God told Moses, I want you to take and write a book of memorial because I always want you to remember what happened this day. It's a book of memory. It's a book of remembrance. That way, and years later, when Amalek comes back to fight against the children of Israel again, you can open the book, hallelujah, and read from an open book what happened many years ago, and know that same God that delivered then can deliver now. Because it's a book of remembrance. God writes a book, and it's revealed in the end time, and it's a book of redemption. It's a book of names. Redeemable names. God writes a book of remembrance concerning the elected, the predestinated, the ordained of God. He writes a book. But watch now. He writes it on the basis of your confession. Watch this. Malachi 3 deals with confessions. People speak often one to another. And notice what's this. Your words has been stout against me. Your words has been stout against me. Saith the Lord, yet say we have we, why have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said in vain. It's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we've kept this ordinance that we walk mournfully before the Lord of the host? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. They that tempt the God are even delivered. Watch this confession. These people come against God, and their confession is not a righteous confession. And God is hearing what these people are saying. God's hearing this. Amen. And basically what they're saying is, where's God in all this mess? Where's God at? If God's with us, where's He at? Has He left us? Is there going to be a rapture? Is there going to be a change of the body? Where's God at in all this? God's ways is too hard. Ain't nobody can live this message. Come on, somebody. Amen. Or they say things like this. Oh, Brother, why is the denomination so blessed? And I'll tell you, that's a wicked confession. And you're telling God you're dissatisfied. And you're not satisfied with what He gave you. Mercy. You're telling God what He has brought to us, dripping with blood, ain't good enough. If God loves us, where's He at? If God's with us, why does people get sick? Why does babies die? Why does these things happen? That's a wicked confession. Come on, somebody. Amen. Why do the denominations have such big churches, and why is there so many people? Yeah, they got bigger churches. They got more quantity. But what kind of quality do they got? They got bigger churches, but they ain't got no convictions. Well, I don't want a man like that. I want a man that'll preach at gun barrel straight to me and my family. Because I recognize I'm living in a body of humility, and I need preached to. Where is God at in all this? What's verse 16? Watch God change it. But they that fear the Lord, that's where I want to be on. They that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened unto it. He heard what they were saying. He heard what they were saying. And I'll tell you, He liked it. I said He liked it. He liked it so much. He said, write a book of remembrance. Put it in a book. A book of remembrance was written before him, them that fear the Lord, that thought often upon His name. Not just three times a week. Come on, somebody. A book of remembrance. Book of remembrance. Oh, I love verse 17. Watch this confession of these people. Watch what God's going to do for them. And they shall be mine. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord. Brother, when God says they're His, ain't nobody take them away from Him. When God says they belong to Him, there ain't nobody can take them out of His hand. Well, brother, what if God forgets about me? How can He forget about you? Your name is inscribed on the palms of His hands. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels Now watch the way God's going to spare these. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So the first thing God's going to do is, he's going to gather those who had a righteous confession. And the next thing, he's going to come back and judge those. You see it? In other words, there's coming a day, and there ain't no day like this day, that God is gathering his jewels together. Referring to the future. In other words, those people whose names is written in that book, that book of remembrance, is the ones that's going to be gathered into that crown that day. When's God going to do this? The day he starts hearing that confession. Your confession reminds God of what he heard. Come on, somebody. Wait a minute, Brother Dave. Wait a minute. You're not trying to make it sound like we had voice. You're trying to make it sound like we had voice. I'll just say this. Job began to talk about us. Come on, somebody. Remember, remembrance is something that happened before. Something that was pre-done. Amen. And here in the end time, God has an elect that's got a righteous confession. And it happens in a day that God makes up his jewels. Oh my. What are they going to be believing? Strong meat's all I can tell you. Hebrews 5. Things that nobody else can eat. The opening of the seven seals. Amen. Brother and sister, the opening of the seven seals only belongs to those that are full age. What do you mean full age? Those who's come to maturity. Everybody else will tell you there's just 3 seals open, 5 seals open. I'll tell you, it's a full 7-course meal for those whose names are in the book. Amen. Praise God. What hour is it? It's the hour that God's gathering his jewels together. Amen. When did I have boys? God asked Job. Now remember, Job had a resurrection revelation. But God wanted to take him further than a resurrection revelation. He wanted him to have a predestinated revelation. And God begins to pick Job's mind and says, Job, where was you? Where was you at? Where was you at, Job? When the morning stars sang together. Brother, you can't sing unless you got a voice. Come on, somebody. I've heard some people sing, I wish they didn't have a voice. But you can't sing without a voice. Come on, somebody. When the morning stars sang together. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. I'm telling you, I had voice back before the foundation of the world. Come on, somebody. And God hears my voice today repeating the same thing he heard back there. And it reminds God, amen, of who I am. Wait a minute. If we're shouting, we've got to have something to shout about. Glad you asked, Serpent Seed 58. We're taught in the blessed word that we had fellowship with him before the foundation of the world. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Way back before the foundation of the world. How do we know that was at the same time that the Lamb was slain? When God in his great thinking seen us shouting and rejoicing. You know why I can shout today? I'm only repeating and reminding God of what I did back then. Hallelujah! What are you saying? He's heard you shout before! He's heard your voice before! He's heard your confession before. And God hears that confession. And you begin to remind God, wait a minute, that triggers something in my mind. I've heard this before. I've heard this song before. Hallelujah! I've heard this song before. I've heard that loud slobbering preacher before. I didn't have Hadley come to this message. I didn't just by chance stumble into this thing. I was elected to believe this message. Brothers and sisters, we are so privileged. I said we are so privileged to be seeing what we're seeing and preaching what we're preaching and believing what we're believing tonight. We're predestinated. We're the elect children of God. And I'm saying God heard us. I'm saying God heard you. How many believes He heard you? I believe this. He heard me preaching this message. And He heard you saying amen to it. Amen! He knows us! Why do you think you needed a prophet? God sent you a prophet to change your confession. Your first confession was Trinitarianism. Your first confession was title baptism. Amen! Your first confession was women preachers! But that ain't your confession no more. And God begins to hear your confession today. Amen! I gotta close. I gotta hurry. The book of remembrance. You remember when John began to weep because John realized that the book was a closed book. And the Bible says that John, watch this, Revelation 5:4, and I wept because no man was found worthy to open the book, to read the book, neither to look thereon. But one of the elders saith unto me, that's a good confession, weep not. Your days of crying is over, John. Your days of groaning, it's over, John. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. John, why are you crying? John realized, I'm a man. I'm a human being. And my body is born after the fall. So I realize my sins are following me everywhere I go. I'm a man born after flesh. And he knew if this book don't get redeemed, John knowed he'd be lost. Because he's a man that had, he was a man that had sins, and he realized his sins had followed him. His sins had actually crossed over to where he's at, and his sins was following him. And John noted, this book has got to be taken. This book has got to become open. This book has got to splash those names beneath his blood. And John begins to weep because there's nobody worthy. One of the others said to me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He's prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Look what John did, verse 9. And they sang a new song. Come on, somebody. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou was slain, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. John realized my sins is going to cross over and follow me if somebody don't take this book. But when all of a sudden the elder said, John, you can quit crying. There's no need to be upset, John. The Lion of the tribe of David, he's prevailed to open that book and to loose the names that's on that book. All right, verse 12. And I sang with a loud voice, worthy. Watch his reaction to the book. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such are as in the sea and all that them are, heard I sang, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. Brother Branham said John had a Pentecostal jubilee. And we live in a day, if people gets a little bit excited, it scares half the people to death. You know that's right, don't you? There's people that don't like loud religion. They don't like screaming religion. They don't like shouting religion. Brother, I want to tell you right now, you better be careful. I ain't sure where you come from.
because he said, this is the quietest place you ever live. Hang on, somebody. Amen. Like I told you a while ago, somebody said, well, Brother David, your problem is you're just too Pentecostal. I say, thank you very much. I say, thank you very much. Amen. Because Pentecost is God, Brother Ram said. So what you're saying is you've got too much God. Woo! John had a Pentecostal jubilee because he saw his name under those seals. Brother, don't you see what we're shouting about? It's because when the book came open, we seen our name, amen, revealed under our seals, and we can't keep from shouting. You're going to have a hard time convincing me you saw your name doing this. Brother, there's something wrong with your seal book. Amen! John had a Pentecostal jubilee. My fine brother, I may be too Pentecostal, but you're too Methodist. At least I'm two church ages ahead of you. Hallelujah! But I ain't ashamed to worship him. I ain't ashamed to let him know I love him. You may be ashamed, but I'm not ashamed tonight. I was headed to hell out 1,000 miles an hour. Jesus interrupted my life.
John realized once he'd become redeemed, those sins could not follow him over anymore. Israel had been delivered from Egypt. They came out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Egypt represents sin. They came out and their back was against the closed sea. They say, how in the world are we going to get across? What are we going to do? And then some of those people with those wicked confessions, there were no graves in Egypt. We ate in Egypt. I mean, Egypt was wonderful. It may have been for you, but it was miserable to me. And when no man was able, God opened up the Red Sea. Hallelujah! And they walked across on dry ground! There's a problem. The Egyptians are following them. And Egypt represents sin. And Egypt's trying to cross over with them. Their sin is trying to be identified on the other side. Glory to God. Egypt, follow them. What happened? God opened up the book. I mean the Red Sea. And when the sea become open, Israel began to march. They didn't sit still. They didn't wait for the Moses to come back from the dead. They began to march. And when the sea opened, Israel began to march. And here come Egypt following after Israel. Just when Israel gets across, Israel turns around and sees Egypt trying to follow them. Don't you see, friends? What God done was, He closed up their sins underneath the sea. Their sins was put in the sea of forgetfulness. Never, hallelujah! Never to be remembered no more! Oh my. Hallelujah! Don't you see Revelation 5? That's why after the seals was open, Brother Branham comes back. And he says, my Thanksgiving message to you is, you never done it in the first place. Where was the first place at? It wasn't the garden, brother. Come on, somebody. It wasn't the garden. It wasn't the fall. It was in the mind of God. before the foundation of the world. You've never done it in the first place. Israel's enemy, hallelujah, was swallowed up in victory. Can we preach 1 Corinthians 15? It was swallowed up in victory. And the Bible said that Moses and all of Israel did something. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, it sounds a whole lot like Revelation chapter 5. Whenever the book become open. And in greatness of thine excellence, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. He overthrew them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, and the flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. And I will divide. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. You hear the devil? Do you hear his confession? Do you hear his confession? I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. The devil said that about you. He's saying that about you tonight. He said that about you before you come to church, while you're in church, and after you leave church. But verse 10 says, thou didst blow with the wind, the sea covered them. I said the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Hallelujah! Who is like unto thee, O Lord, amongst the gods? Who is likely glorious and holy and fearful and praises doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth has swallowed them up. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Which thou hast redeemed. And thou hast guided them in thy strength unto a holy habitation. He guided them to a holy habitation. Hallelujah. A refuge. I'll hide you in the refuge in the time of trouble. Psalms 27 said he would hide us. Oh, glory to God. I gotta quit. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain. Oh, listen to this. Verse 16. And the fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till the people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. Hallelujah. I come out of Egypt, but I'm going back to the mountain, brother. I came out of the world, but my future's in a holy mountain. Plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee, a body eternal in the heavens. A place thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands has established. Not the hands of man. It's eternal in the heavens. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, for the horse of Pharaoh went in his chariots with the horsemen of the sea. The Lord brought them again the waters of the sea upon them. And the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Brother, you went in that sea of forgetfulness and walked through on dry land. And Miriam, the prophetess. Look out, somebody. The sister Aaron took a timbrel in her hand. John sang. The elders, 24 of them, elders. Brother, I'm ashamed to worship. Elders fell down and began to worship. Elders! But Miriam, a woman, scriptural type of the church. And Miriam answered, what's this? The prophet's sister Aaron took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with the timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered, said, sing you to the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider, the one that rode the white one, and the red one, and the black one, and the pale one. The horse rider, I said the horse rider, has been thrown into the sea. His name is death, and hell follows after him. And he's thrown into the sea! Hallelujah! And Miriam began to rejoice. Picked up a tambourine and danced around the island. And Brother Ram said, Miriam began to dance. Because when she looked down into that sea, she saw that taskmaster that had been beaten on her. And he was drowned in that sea. The one that held her down. The one that oppressed her. The one that beat her. The one that come against her. The one that had been her enemy was drowned in that sea. And when Miriam saw her sins was underneath the blood, she began to dance. She began to sing. You was always in that book of remembrance. You never was a hog. You never was a chicken. You always was an eagle. You just recognized this message to be eagle food. And you started back on your journey. As our music players come, Jesus was the fullness of God manifested. He was the fullness of God, of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, when He came to the earth, was manifest in the flesh. You were in Him then, because He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. Therefore, you walked in with Him, and you were in Him, and He was on earth. You suffered with Him. You died with Him. You was buried with Him. And now you're risen with Him and manifested the attributes of God, setting in heavenly places. Oh, brother, one day, already raised, resurrected to a new life, setting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, that means so much nowadays, church. That means so much to us to see ourselves positionally placed in Jesus Christ. And if we are those attributes, we cannot live by creeds. We cannot live by denominationalism. We must live by the Word. The bride is the part of the bridegroom like any wife is a part of her husband. Therefore, we must be the Word bride. What is the Word bride? It's the manifestation of this hour. The bride, not a creed, not a dogma, not a denomination, but a living oracle of God. Listen to this statement. A living attribute. The attributes He had in His mind is alive tonight. And you believe in the Word for your day is reminding God of who you always was. You may not think your amen means much, but it does. You may not mean what you, when you read something and it stimulates your soul, you may not think that means much, but it does. When God speaks to your heart by the Word, you may think, well, it's just me. It's just a funny thing. No, it's more than that. It's an attribute of God pulling and tugging at you, trying to get you to see who you always was. The book of remembrance. We're displaying to the world the attributes of God in the formation of the bride that's to be expressed in this hour that we are now living. Let's just think how blessed we are tonight. I'm not trying to preach you some day gone by message. I'm not trying to preach you something that's going to happen maybe way off in the millennium. I'm talking about what God has promised for us today. We're not starving. We got a 7-course meal. The seals is open. The Word's been revealed. The message of the token's been preached. We've got the life of Christ on display. Oh, how blessed we are tonight. How blessed we are. Let's stand to our feet tonight if you would. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I love Him, don't you? How many believes it with all your heart? How many believes you're a part of it tonight? Lord, I'm a part of it. Oh, my. Let's just sing this song, Amazing Grace, if we could. That's why we're here. That's what He's done for us. Oh, let's just tell Him now. Let's just let Him know, Lord, I want to be identified tonight. I'm identified with that Word for my day. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I know it saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
When I was lost, but now I'm found. Well, sing that song, He Came Looking For Me. You sing a little bit earlier, He Came Looking For Me. One night while alone, I slayed Jesus. Looked as if I was suffering. Blackness of mind closed on the line. My heart sank with me. Oh, my desperate cry rang out with a pride. And all I could see was no hope inside. Faith on the goal.
Me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time. Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe with no harm. For you walked through the storm. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me.
Let's sing it together again now, saints.
He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near. To rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. You love Him tonight. You appreciate His word. That feeds your soul. Aren't you glad there's a book written? I'm glad there's one written and one forgotten. That old book He took and... Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because that was not you. You wasn't married to that in the first place. Hallelujah to God. I was listening to this tape this evening before church, just right before church. Stopped listening to it about 6 o'clock. Things that ought to be, the last quotes there. You realize that was preached in an Assembly of God church in Rialto, California. Things that ought to be. Pastor's name is Brother Boone. Young man, what he'd heard Brother Branham and inspired by Brother Branham's ministry, he said. And I thought as I was listening to it today, I thought, if that could have ever been preached in Happy Valley, where we are right now, Lord, have mercy. Well, Brother Bam didn't get to preach it, but another one of the sons of the gospel did, you know. So, yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad, friends, that we're part of this? We are really what this is about. You know, so many folks are so tied up and so wrapped up in Brother Branham. And the nucleus of everything to them is Brother Branham. And then some will move beyond that, and then the nucleus is the tapes. It's just the tapes, the tapes. It's like, that's the religion, actually. The religion is the tapes. But to the bride, the focus of all this is Jesus and her and the relationship and what they were and coming back to that. Oh my, I'm just so grateful to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says it himself. He said, Brother Branham, I believe every word you say. He said, that's just being able to read. That's just being able to read. But you can't get this by just being able to read. Because there's some folks that get it, they couldn't read. Huh? There's folks that believe this that couldn't read their name. They can't even read quotes, yet they believe this. How? They was a part of Him before the world began. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. And with that mystery, He said it doesn't say in that day that Levi will be saved or this will be saved. But He said when the mystery of the book is sounded, you look and see yourself identified with that. That's the way you see your name in the book. I've never seen Donnie Reagan. You've never seen Daryl Ward, Terry Horn. That's not even our original name anyway. I'd rather have my name, the word there, than I would my name, Donnie Reagan. I would, because there might be a bunch of Donnie Reagans. Oh, glory. But I know if I'm identified in that word, I'll never lose out. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, once again speaking to our hearts. Lord, it so makes us want to, as our brother read these scriptures tonight, speak often of you, of your mercy, your grace, that our confession would be that which is beneficial. We know after the fall, man was born in a negative way. So humanly, we tend to lean toward negative things. We tend to lean toward the bad things and the difficult things. But we have another birth which leans us toward that perfect thought. As you said that Eve, Brother Branham spoke these words to us, and I've thought about it so much, that Eve was God's thought of a woman, what a perfect woman should really be. So then when she fell from that, what happened to that perfect thought? Just because the manifestation failed in her life, that thought was your thought. So what happened to that thought? It's still alive tonight. So there's got to be an Eve that will match that thought again. Lord Jesus, help us to look beyond our frailties, our weaknesses, our failures. May our thinking go to what that thought you had of us before the world began. Grant it, Lord. As sheep, may we ruminate on these things that we've heard tonight. I'm sure Brother Darrell has been studying, Lord, and no doubt you've already given him direction. We just pray for him tonight that you'd lead him for the service in the morning. May you take our brother, speak to us once again, Father. We're not ashamed tonight to say to you that our needs are many. But we don't look at our needs and become overwhelmed by them and say, oh my, how is it going to work? We want to look at them as being opportunities of faith by which you're able to supernaturally come and speak to us. I'm glad that I too, like Miriam, can look in the Red Sea and see that old taskmaster that once had me bound. But I can shout on the land of the promised land and say, I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go with your children now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing what you're playing. We appreciate you. Amen. Go in the fear of God. God bless you, saints. Service in the morning at 11. God bless you.
When the hands of time wind fully down and the earth rolls up like a scroll, the trumpet will call and the earth will fall, and his knees as we go home, singing blessing and honor and power and glory forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and power and glory forever to our God. There will come a day, standing face to face, in a moment we'll be like Him. He will wipe our eyes dry, take us up to His side, and forever we will be His. We'll sing blessing and honor and power and glory forever to our God. We'll sing blessing and honor and power and glory forever to our God. We'll sing blessing and honor, power and glory forever to our God. There will come a day, standing face to face, in a moment we'll be like Him. He will wipe our eyes dry, take us up to His side, and forever we'll be His. We'll sing blessing and honor, power and glory forever to our God. We'll sing blessing and honor, power and glory forever to our God. When the hands of time wind fully down, and this world rolls up like a scroll, and the trumpets call, and the earth will fall to its knees as we go home, we'll sing blessing and honor, power and glory.